Well, it's good to worship the Lord, isn't it? It's great to, for God's people to come together and express our love for God together. And so it's just very uplifting. It gets our eyes off ourselves and onto God, where our eyes should be. In the midst of whatever we're facing, we turn our eyes to the Lord and we worship Him. And as we worship Him, we see Him more clearly, understand who He is better as we sing, and because of it, we're strengthened in the core of our being, and we're able to go back out to fight the fight. And we need that. So be in church on Sunday and worship God with His people from the bottom of your hearts, and God bless you in it. It's terrific to worship with you. Clark, thanks for leading that group, and all of you who participated. Wow, that was wonderful. So well done. It's a great gift that you have that you're using for God's glory. Another word of admonition, being a pastor is a very difficult thing. If you lead a congregation, it's hard to keep everybody happy. And if you're a good pastor, you don't keep everybody happy. Let's face it. So pray for your pastor, Phil and Lisa, as they lead this church. Encourage them. Make sure they know that you love them, and bless them with acts of kindness and encouragement. I worked here for 4 years as pastor. It was a tough go. Because it's just hard when you're fighting against the enemy, isn't it? We're all fighting against the enemy. And all of us who participate in kingdom work, which you all are doing in one way or another, you understand that it's a tough, tough job. Sitting here with us are people who are on the first team that I joined in leadership as a youth pastor, Jack and Kay Farney and Vicky Rumford, and Stan is not here, but we worked together for 3 years or so, and but just tough going. Anyway, but it's wonderful to be a part of it and to see God's kingdom advanced. Nicole and I love it that you folks are meeting and growing and hearing God's word and following Him. You stand behind us, and we need you to thrive because you send us out. Would you turn in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. I'm going to read this to you. John, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. I don't know if you've ever seen grapevines, but I was in Dagestan, Russia, and we were journeying down to Derbent, a city down on the Caspian Sea, and we were driving down there, and we stopped at this vineyard. And the Tabasaran people, a tribal ethnic group there, was out in that vineyard, and they were picking the grapes. These were green grapes, and the fields were ripe, and it was time to harvest, and all these people were out there. I remember the sweet, sugary sap, or whatever, juice from those grapes just dripping off their fingers. And the picture stands out in my mind. Why do we plant grapevines? Why do we plant grapevines? We plant grapevines because we want grapes, right? How many grapes does the grapevine planter want? He wants lots of grapes, right? You farmers, you want to see a harvest. You want to see an abundant harvest. The grapevine is planted for fruit. Fruit. And in this passage, we find the Lord talking about fruit, bearing fruit. And he says he has two modifiers that talk about the fruit. One is much fruit. The Lord would like you and me to bear much fruit. Not just a little, but a lot. Anybody here opposed to that? I would be pretty happy if Nicole and I could work to see a church started in Spain with 1,000 people. I wouldn't mind that. What if this church grew to be 1,000 people? Would you guys complain? What if you started 10 more churches out of this church? Would you complain? No, you wouldn't complain. You'd be thrilled to be bearing much fruit. There's two modifiers to this word fruit. One is much. The Lord said, "If I want you to bear much fruit." And then he also said, "I want you to bear fruit that will last. I want you to bear fruit that will stay on, that will keep going in the future." Not fruit that just falls off the vine, but fruit that continues, fruit that will last. Much fruit and fruit that will last. So he's saying to us, I want you to bear fruit. Now, how do you do that? Well, he gives us the answer to that. He says, remain, abide in the vine. If you take even a branch off of the vine of a grapevine, the leaves can't even grow. It's just a matter of hours before that leaf starts to wilt, let alone any fruit grow off of it. So in order for the grape branch to bear any fruit or even a leaf, it has to be attached to the vine. Very simple. So the vine is the source of the life of the branch and the fruit. So we have to stay, he says, stay, remain, abide in the vine. Abide in Jesus. That's the key to bearing fruit. So what does it mean then to remain, to abide in the vine? That's the question. What does it mean for us to remain, to abide in the vine? He tells us here, but as you think about it as a Christian, what does it take for you as a Christian to stay close to Jesus? You know these basics. There's basic things like reading God's word daily, praying daily, asking God for help, worshiping him daily in your prayer life. There's other things like meeting with God's people. We call these means of grace, ways that God has provided for us to help us grow. And it's essential for us to have life in Jesus. We got to stay close to him. We got to be close to Jesus daily, whether we're on the tractor, whether we're in the school building teaching, whether we're driving, whatever it may be, we need to be close to Jesus. So we read God's word, We pray, we worship and meet with God's people, and we do that for multiple reasons. But one is to share with each other what we're learning, to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable. So these gatherings of God's people have real intent to keep us remaining in the vine. On top of that, we sing and worship God. We get active in ministry. We do different things that the Lord has called us to. But there's one thing that he's called us to here. In this text, the Lord only asks one thing of us to remain in the vine. Did you see it? He says, obey my commands. Obey my commands. But what command does he give us? He gives us this one command. He says, love one another. Love one another. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other. He doesn't give us a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. He doesn't say, okay, if you want to abide in me, you've got to spend an hour in prayer a day. He doesn't say that here. He doesn't say you've got to memorize all the Psalms to be close to Jesus. He doesn't say that you've got to be in church every Sunday on time. He doesn't give us a list of do's and don'ts. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't. He gives us one command. He says, love each other. Wow. He reduces it all down to loving each other. And then he tells us exactly how we are to love. He says in verse 12, as I have loved you. That's the example. And how did Jesus love us? His love was sacrificial. He went to the cross for us. So Jesus dies for us because he loves us so much. And he rises again, but he asks us to have this kind of love for each other. That's very hard to do. Frankly, that's very hard to do. Do any of you have relatives that are hard to be with? Oh my goodness. Do any of you have neighbors that are hard to spend time with? Do any of you have husbands that are a bit obnoxious? Do any of you have wives that can be maybe sometimes like a dripping faucet? That's straight out of the Bible. I didn't make those words up. At any rate, living with each other is a very hard task. But Jesus calls us to love each other. And it means it has everything to do with sacrifice. My wife has to live with me. What? Now that's a sacrifice. And she has to put up with things about me that are a bit obnoxious sometimes and flat out a pain in the neck at other times. My wife has to put up with me and she has to love me. That's a hard task. We stay close to Jesus by choosing to die to ourselves and choosing to love the other person. When we love each other, it's a strong testimony to the world. It's a stronger testimony than about anything else. Jesus said in John chapter 17, a couple chapters later, he says, I pray that they may love each other and that they may be one so that the world will know that I was sent from the Father. How's the world going to know this? Because of the love of God's people for each other. And I don't have magical cures for this. When somebody else offends me, I've got to tell you, it's hard for me to overcome in here. My natural inclination is to bite back. My natural inclination is to want to get even. That is the bottom of my heart. There's that core in there. I don't like being treated unjustly. I don't like being hurt by others. And when we're hurt and we're tied to the land and we can't just leave those neighbors, We've got to find a way forward as Christians, don't we? And we got to find a way to overcome my flesh, my sinful tendencies, so that I can choose to return good for evil, to love my enemies, to do good to those who hate me and despitefully treat me, to pray for them. I've got to find a way forward in the power of Jesus Christ by being attached to that vine, because I'll tell you what, it doesn't come naturally. There is no life in Brent Preston. I don't have it. I haven't got the strength or the life-giving sap to be able to love my enemies. But by abiding in Christ, we find that life that allows us to love those people in our lives that are hard to love. And when we do that, it's miraculous. Do you realize that? It's miraculous. It's powerful. When you return good to that neighbor across the section who's been mean to you, or cheated you out of something, or lied to you, and you go back over there and you show kindness to that person, it's not normal. It's miraculous. And that's what we're called to do. That's what makes us stand out. That's what makes the world look at us and say, they've got something I don't. And that's what makes them want our Jesus. That love. So, if we stay attached to the vine, we will bear fruit. He also says that there are other two key results here. He says, God the Father will hear your prayers. God the Father is going to listen and answer your prayers. Why? Because you're praying in line with kingdom work, the glory of Jesus. You're praying in line with that which matters to God the most. You're not absorbed in yourself. You're absorbed in what Jesus Christ wants for this world. And it's more important for you that that man across the section who has mistreated you gets to see the love of God in action so that he might want your God. And so therefore, you return good for evil and you begin to reach out in love and kindness, and you pray and ask God, God, what can I do back to that man that will bring honor to you and show him that I love him? And the Spirit will answer your prayer and show you what to do. He promises us not just that God will answer our prayers, but he promises us joy. If you want to know what misery is, try hating your neighbor. Just nurse that baby along. Feed that animal. Get that thing cranked up nice and hot. Get angry, burn inside. And if you're a believer, you're going to know what misery is all about. It's a horrible thing to nurse grudges, to nurse anger, to nurse bitterness, to seek that in the depths of your being and walk past that guy that you hate. You can't have joy in your heart because you're full of this bitter root of anger and jealousy or whatever it is, but it's nasty. You want to know joy? You got to break out of that. You got to be tied into Jesus, and you got to be willing to forgive that person and let that go. Don't let that person chain you up. Don't let the enemy have his way. Break out of that and love that person. Show kindness to that person. Shock his socks off. Okay, so he ripped you off. Who cares? Is God your provider or what? Love him. Love him back. Too good to the guy. Okay, the person is gossiping about you. You can nurse hatred and anger, but it'll kill you. If you want to know joy, then you forgive and you stay close to Jesus and you start doing acts of kindness back to those who hate you. That's what Christianity's about. It's the impossible life. It ain't possible. It's miraculous. It comes by staying close to Jesus. So, if we want to bear fruit, we stay close to Jesus. Now, there's a sad part in this that I don't want to talk about, but it says that if we bear fruit, the Lord does something that I'm not real happy about. He prunes us, it says. Now, listen to me. Have you ever seen a vineyard in the late fall? They prune grapevines. Do you know how they prune them? I'll tell you, they chop everything off. There's the vine coming up, and then they've got these wires that stretch out from post to post. There's a vine on the post, and they leave, not a whole bundle of leaves, they leave two branches, one going one way and one going the other way, and that's it. All the rest of that huge flourishing vine with all those grapes, they pick the grapes off, and then that huge vine, they just chop everything out. That's what they do when they prune a grapevine. They leave nothing but these two bare branches. You check it out when you go to Michigan sometime. You'll see it. I don't like that thing of pruning. That's pretty difficult. Because God comes into my life and he says, Brent, you got to knock this off. You got to take this out of your life. You've got to straighten up in this area because you're not there yet. And you got to change. And this is what I'm asking of you. And the Spirit of God, through God's people, through my children, through my wife, talks to me and says, Brent, this is unacceptable. You're snapping at your children. That's not how God's people behave. You're getting angry at your wife. That's not acceptable, Brent. You got to stop that. You're critical. Nope, that's got to go too. Oh, but it's fun to be critical. You know, it's fun to gossip even. Oh, man, we like those kind of things. That's got to go. And the Lord comes in and he says, Brent, if you're going to bear fruit this coming season, I got to knock these things off. And so he goes to work on me and cuts out the branches so that I can bear fruit. The two branches that remain will produce a bundle of fruit. And so God works on you and me. Sometimes it's through financial difficulty. Sometimes it's through your wife, gentlemen. And we don't like to hear correction from our wives, do we? Do you? I don't. It's no fun, but I need it. I need to be pruned. Sometimes it's through sickness. The Lord is working on us through multiple ways. Sometimes it's through the loving example of another Christian. And we go, man, I want to be like that person. And I'm not like him. So change me, God. And so God prunes us. It's not easy. It doesn't feel good. But it's the absolute requirement for branches on a grapevine to bear fruit. It has to happen. And if you're not bearing fruit, he says you're cut off and cast into the fire and burned. So the Lord is working. If you are bearing fruit, if you are a believer, the Lord is going to be pruning you. So get used to it. Get ready for it. And let his Spirit lead you. So remaining in Jesus means that we love each other. And if we love each other, there's joy and there's answered prayer. And then on top of that, we have the power to. We see the power of God at work, bearing this fruit in our lives. I'll just give you another example. When I was in Dagestan, Russia, our team worked to start a church. There was one couple, and the man was actually here and preached in our church one day. He's missing his right index finger because he was caught by terrorists and held for ransom for 8 months, and they took a hunting knife and cut off his finger at the second joint of his right hand. And he was happy about that because he's left-handed. They didn't cut off his left finger. But anyway, they pitched the finger into the corner, tussled his hair, and then dipped that stub in hot wax to seal it off, which is actually a very good move to sanitize it and so forth. So anyway, Herb and Linda Gregg were the oldest couple and also the couple that could speak Russian the least. Their language was not good. So when it came to sharing the gospel in Russian, well, forget it. However, Herb and Linda loved these people. And God took Herb and Linda and used them in ways that the best language speakers on our team weren't used at all. And it was through Herb and Linda that, you might know this, but do you know a man named Timur Rasulov? You know him, don't you? He's been here, hasn't he? You support him still? Okay. Herb talked to Timur, and Timur came to Christ. Herb's Russian was not good, so Herb got Keith McCune, whose Russian was like a native on our team, to go to Timur's house and share the gospel with the whole family. And through that, this family came to know Jesus. It's not about whether you speak the language well. It's not about how intelligent you are. It's not about how handsome you are. It's not about whether you can hunt well or you have the fanciest pickup in the county. It's not about these things. It's about, do you love people? Do you love others? And if you love others, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to be close to Jesus. The Bible says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the Lord our God. The horse is made ready for battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And in Zechariah, the Lord said to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This whole thing of Christianity and the expansion of God's kingdom in this world is all about the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in us as a church, as we focus outward on the lost. And only in the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, by staying attached to that vine, being in Jesus and close to Jesus, are we able to bear fruit. And may God bless us toward that end. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you demonstrated how to love on the cross. And we are very grateful that we know you. And I thank you for this church, this body of believers who love you and long to please you and long for others to know you. I pray that you would help us to stay close to you. Help us to stay in the vine, attached to the vine, that we might have the life and strength and miraculous power to love our enemies and to be a light for Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let your kingdom come, stand.